Everybody, Vlad, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, good to see you again.
Good to see you as well as everyone else here. Also, Chris is going to be a few minutes late. He messaged me, but just to give everyone an overview of what we're going to cover in this space. So, this space is really for you guys, the community. In case you guys have any questions or anything you want to discuss related to the community grant proposal that Chris had posted on Agora yesterday. So we hosted a space earlier today, and we covered the proposal for much of that space as well, and answered some questions. But this space is dedicated fully to that. So if anyone has any questions that they'd like to ask about the proposal, they can just request to speak, and then we'll bring people up one by one to ask your question and then answer those as best we can. So with that, if anyone has any questions, feel free to just request to speak and then we can bring you up. In the meantime, if there's other people that don't want to speak on the space, but you still have a question about the proposal, you can just go to the tweet for this space and just put in the replies your question. And then we can address those one by one there as well. And in the meantime, we'll wait for Chris to join. We'll give maybe just one or two more minutes and then we'll get started. Chris just sent me a message. He should be on within the next minute or two. So thank everyone for their patience. We will get started in just a minute. All right. Chris, can you hear us? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How's it going?
Good, good. All right, cool. So we can get started with this. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to request to speak. Like I said, we'll take some questions from the replies of the tweet as well. So one of the questions here, maybe Chris, we could start off with this one, is from Inspiration. So he's asking, or they're asking, since we'll be using the community pool funds that would be intended to fund applications, are the projects that will get funded by TFL going to pay back or retribute the community pool with Luna Burns project tokens or any profit sharing to stakers? So basically, like, is any of that going to be involved in like the way that we structure deals with applications that we fund?
I don't think it'll be a primary way of structuring any deals. And the reason for that is, look, it's hard enough in crypto right now to just survive and find product market fit and develop a business model. And these teams, if they come right out of the gate and they've got this massive obligation overhang, it makes it even harder. And I don't think that model really works. We haven't seen, there are some examples of it working, like, but the more important examples, the more sustainable examples, and I think the example of probably the best grant that's ever happened is the Uniswap grant. And the most important thing is just funding innovative products that the way that they can contribute back to Luna and the way they contribute back to the ecosystem is to bring transactions, bring users. Ultimately, that, you know, building a community pool is not what we're here for. The community pool should be in service of building a sustainable an ecosystem that can sustain itself and secure itself without token incentives. And so that's what we want, right? And that's what we're going to be incentivizing, is helping teams get to the point where they can prove product market fit and generate transactions, generate fees, and help sustain the network. That's not to say that like we wouldn't do something like that, like that it's like completely off the table, but it's not, I don't think it's the primary use. It's not the primary model we would use.
Yeah, that makes sense. MB Ajir sent me some questions that he had as well, but it's 5 a.m. his time right now. So he said he wasn't able to make the space, but I told him that we would address him in the space anyways, so that he could listen back to the recording. One of the questions that he had was related to something that Weishai talked about on the space earlier today, which is staking the Luna, potentially staking the Luna received to incentivize active participation in the network, providing services for the ecosystem, like you talked about earlier, Chris, and then just ensuring balanced decentralization. So his question was, would you recommend that the delegation program is managed in some arm's length manner, say guided by a committee, which partly includes members of the community?
I need to think about that, but I will get back. I will think about that and get back to you.
Sounds good. The second question that he had was this. So he says, while TFL has done a great job lately with the Twitter spaces and being transparent, a concern is that after the proposal passes, that maybe the level of communications won't go beyond regular spaces for updates. He says it seems like people want regular updates or a structured approach to the way that basically what we're going to be doing with the funds. So I guess it wasn't really worded in the form of a question. It was kind of more of like, is this, or, how are we going to be providing updates on what we're doing with the funds, whether it be funding projects or deploying funds and the liquidity fund, that we talked about in the proposal, using the non-Luna treasury for that.
I mean, the question is like, how are we going, like the channels by which we're going to communicate or like what?
I guess it's like, how do we plan to communicate with the community about, how we're deploying the funds?
Well, let's start with the liquidity provisioning. Because I think that's the most straightforward. All that money is going to go to an enterprise wallet, and all of the positions that it's getting deployed to are going to be, you can track, right? You just follow that enterprise DAO. And so you'll see everything that's happening with those funds, how they're performing. In addition to that, I need to think through like exactly how we would execute on some of this stuff, because I think there are, if we say too much in advance, like what we're going to do, like I don't know if there are ways for people to try to front run us. But I think the vast majority of like deploying those assets will be community driven. We might make like some strategic bets. What we want to do is really get the community involved in trying to help us understand how to deploy liquidity in a way that drives capital velocity and transactions. And get the community involved in like understanding all of the trade-offs that go into those decisions and making smart strategic choices about where to deploy. And I think like you could say, well, why wouldn't that just happen in the community pool? And I think that DAOs are more effective in smaller groups at like biting off smaller projects and like having some autonomy to like make some mistakes, but learn from them, adapt, adjust. And I think like one of the worst things about crypto is just this set and forget mindset that you can just like set up an incentive structure and then leave it there. Whereas ultimately, like what we're doing with these incentive structures is no different than like what a growth marketer does. And a growth marketer has algorithms that are adjusting all of the parameters of how they deploy a spend to drive growth in real time automatically. And we're like a Stone Age in crypto with how we do this, beyond Stone Age. Like it's embarrassing. And so like by like breaking this up into smaller pieces and giving teams the opportunity to experiment and play, be supported by like the growth DAO analytics framework. You know, I think like it's going to be pretty transparent what's happening with those funds. And like the teams that do it will be responsible. Like part of the agreement will be that they're responsible for providing reports. The teams that do a good job of that will get more, and the teams that don't will have those funds yanked. In terms of like how we're spending, in terms of how, like how we're spending our own money, yeah, we wouldn't provide updates on that. Like you'll see new projects enter the ecosystem. You'll see us announce one this week, maybe next week, Zion, a pretty big one. But I'm not going to like share the financial terms because that's a contract between TFL and a legal entity. We'll have I hope a very impressive entrant to our ecosystem soon. But like there's like a legal agreement, there's NDAs, there's all kinds of stuff going on that we can't share. So, yeah,
I think that makes sense. So another question here from the replies on this tweet was from Martino, and he asks, can you explain how Luna wouldn't be sold to reduce selling pressure? Multisig 2 with 25 million states this. Multisig 1 with 125 million doesn't.
Yeah, so the idea with Multisig 1, I'm not saying it won't be sold. It just won't be sold before the vesting dates. So the idea with Multisig 1 is we spend money now. TFL spends non-Luna treasury now. Multisig 1 holds money that backfills that treasury when ours is depleted. Look, I mean, like I said this in the Telegram, the amount of tokens we're getting, like we can't even like a 1 year vest. We like at the current market cap and the current liquidity and the current just state of the ecosystem, we wouldn't be able to sell those even a year. Like if it's the same situation a year from now, we wouldn't really be able to sell those anyway. It doesn't mean like the minute that happens, like we're just going to start dumping all the tokens. That's not what's going to happen at all. I mean, like if we're bullish on the ecosystem, then we want to hold the Luna tokens because they're going to go up, right? And spend non-Luna assets. But that being said, I mean, like people will, there will be, once things are vested, you have to just assume that they can be sold, right? And this is probably an important point to say, like, you know, we're going to do a token incentive program for our employees. And that's going to be vested based on market cap and time. So they would have like a time vesting component and some kind of like success component in it, right? Where they don't actually get any of those tokens unless we've been successful. But once that's over with, like I will encourage our team to sell and go buy things in the real world and not feel guilty about it. And like do things for their family and not try to take tokens to the grave. And so, you know, and you guys should too, if you make a bunch of money. So there won't ever be sell pressure. It's to say that we can delay the sell pressure until we've shown success.
Yep, absolutely. So there's another question here from Martino asking, so this one has to do basically with like how the tokens vest. So he's asking, why is a 5-year grant needed of 125 million rather than say 25 million a year requested each year?
Because the amount of capital we're going to contribute up front is equal to or far exceeds the value of the entire 5-year vest. And so we want that commitment. We want a commitment on the full 5 years, not to have to go back and hat in hand once a year to do this over and over and over again.
Yeah, and the other thing, just to briefly mention on that, is just the nature of token vesting schedules. So, you know, when you have like large unlocks, like if you know you were to do a 25 million a year vest, you would have a single unlock every year of 25 million tokens. that's not great in terms of price impact, right? So vesting linearly over 5 years, it's basically the best possible way to do a vesting schedule to reduce price impact. And that's another reason why we did it. All right.
There's also long-term commitments I need to make to people that require certainty around the number of tokens that will be there. And those won't be liquid until milestones have been met. But they still, I can't make a commitment and then not have, and then now I've got to go ask for the tokens. And I don't know, to people who weren't on the first call, a lot of what we want to do is incentivize people with people who've contributed to the ecosystem. There are projects who have just done a lot, right? And they got a community grant and they delivered, and we're going to use them. Station's going to integrate with them. And I can't just pay their bills, right? I can't, they've got to figure out a way to make themselves sustainable, and we can help and we can provide liquidity and stuff like that. But I do want to give them a Luna grant that if this thing, when this thing is successful, that they're successful as well, right? And that they participate in the upside, and that they're incentivized to participate in the upside. And it's kind of taken some of these ecosystem partners who have stuck around through thick and thin and making sure that they're well rewarded if it all works out. Just like our employees are. I kind of look at our employees and, the builders who delivered is kind of the same thing. They all need some Luna. they all need a taste of the upside when this works. And the idea of trying to do that again through the community pool, we know that's not going to work.
Yeah, it comes back to the classic phrase, show me the incentive and I'll show you the result. Yeah. Cool. Let's see if there's any other questions in the replies here. Was there any questions you saw, Chris, in the Telegram chat that maybe you didn't get to or you wanted to answer?
I haven't looked in a couple of hours, but someone else can, or we can just open it up. Has no one requested to ask questions?
Yeah. If anyone in the space, like I said, if anyone has any questions here and you want to come up to ask a question, feel free. Or if you just want to discuss the grant more generally, feel free. And then I'll bring you up.
If you want to talk products, if there's no grant stuff, we can talk about anything.
Yeah. Let me just take a look at the Telegram quick and see if there's any questions here.
I was kind of hoping someone would come on. There are questions in the Telegram. Why don't we take the entire community pool? I'm not getting any of those softballs.
Okay. We got JG up here.
Hey, you got a little Vegas update. A little bit of winning happening over in Vegas.
Nice. Chris, I just want to say thank you so much. It's so kind you offered to pay all our bills. No, I'm sure. Yes. I'm so excited to hear that this is the direction of these spaces. The thing that this, Cosmos needs is leadership. And the fact that TFL does not have the adequate funds at the end of the day, we have to be able to move to one. If we can put the money in one place, I'm pretty sure that will unify the mission. That's pretty much what it comes down to,
Makes sense, yeah. In some ways, it's a survival game. But in some ways you have to match investment, and I think with this grant, we're trying to match investment levels, it's not really, we're not trying to match other layer one. We have ambitions beyond the level of investment that other layer ones in the Cosmos ecosystem are making right now. It's kind of, I'm trying to we'll ultimately be judged by our success about where we started, where we went, and what we get back to, and how close we get back to where we were before. And that was a global crypto conversation, not just a Cosmos crypto conversation. So I think against Cosmos, but I think like we're going to build on all the tools that customers have, and we love them. And we are working, by the way, like with Confio to figure out how to do our fair share as well. So there are other ways we can contribute, probably a little more than we did in the past, according to some people. But yeah, we have big ambitions. We have big ambitions.
Rebel, we got Rebel DeFi up here. Rebel, do you have a question or anything you want to discuss related to the grant?
Oh, hi guys. I mean, it's all very inspirational. And I think the majority of people are going to be behind this. I'm just wondering if there's potentially some more clarity in the sense that like it's clear exactly how much Luna TFL is requesting. And I don't think anyone's really got an issue with that, but it's not that clear like how much treasury is going to be spent. It's always like, hey, we're going to do some matching. Hey, we're going to spend tons of money. Hey, we're supporting. And it is a bit sort of trust us, bro vibe. I mean, essentially that it is the only game in town. I just think you can really get the community right behind this if we're like talking, you know, because if there's no clarity, then after the prop passes, and if some folk are disappointed, there's no sort of redress, recourse. You're like, well, yeah, we didn't say that. You kind of read into this thing the way you wanted to read it. So for me, I think a tighter prop would be beneficial for everyone.
So I understand like what you're saying, but I feel like I am saying like we would spend more in the first 2 years than the current value of the entire 5-year grant. So that's one. I mean, I think we're going to spend significantly more. I think we spend more than that anyway. And then two, like the reason I don't want to put it in the grant is like how, like whether I say it here or like we open up the grant and we spend the next week, you know, like all editing it together, it's trust me, bro, no matter what, because it's words in a document. And I'm not going to open up my books for you to inspect them afterwards.
To be fair, like the prop is a lot tighter than the previous words that were written. It was a lot of bluff. Well, I wouldn't say bluff, but it was a lot of bluster, the previous props. So kudos to you or whoever wrote it, Chris. I think this prop is certainly better. So we're clear. So if Luna's at, I don't even know what Luna is just now. Say Luna's at like 40 cents, you're essentially saying that you're $40 million. I mean, that's mega. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sorry. Can you repeat that? Sorry, someone was at my door.
Okay.
If Luna's at...
So say Luna's at 40 cents, right, you're essentially saying you're going to commit about $40 million dollars to this thing. I mean, that's a massive chunk.
Yeah, let me just,
I mean, give,
like,
give or take
the math. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, because I mean, like, I want to deploy all of the 25 million and I need to put the other side on that, right? And then, yeah, I mean,
So I mean, a lot of this is going to liquidity then. It's not like, hey, teams, we want you to do this and we want you to do that.
Well, that's the thing. It's gonna.
I mean, so
it just depends on the opportunity, right? Like, it's all about ROI. It's gonna be data driven, and that's why I can't like get into like all specific details. I just don't know. I'd be lying to you, and then no matter what, someone will come back and. Say I made it up, and there's like no way to there's also just no, like, it just from a practical matter, like, we're not gonna, like, I can't, like, I'm not posting QuickBooks files, right? And so like there's no audit mechanism or anything, so it's definitely like a trust us thing, right? And I just want to be clear about that, because like I don't want to cloud it up and make it seem like, no, this is a trustless thing and everyone's gonna, you know, I'm going to post my ledger, and, you know, Ray's going to come through and audit my books, and like, that's not going to happen. And I don't want people to get that impression. Like, there's a level of trust here. there's a level of trust by the TFL team, right? Like, this isn't our company. You know, we are sticking around to help out, and but you know, like every single person on this team has 10 other options that I'm trying to dissuade them from, where they don't have to like try to convince people to trust them on the internet, you know? And so like, it's not like this is going into our pockets. Eventually, if we do a good job, like I said, we'll have token contracts, but we're trying to get this so that we can expand the ecosystem. And if that's not what people want, then that's fine too. You know, like we'll be fine. We've got our treasury. We'll burn this out. We'll figure out a new plan. There's just not much more to give on this proposal. Like, we put a lot of thought into it. We feel like it's beyond fair.
I don't
fairly comfortable with it.
I mean, I don't know anyone saying it's like a proposal that they'd vote against. I think it was just like there's some suggestions for maybe, I don't know, tightening things up. But I mean, it is pretty exciting. And like you said, sorry, one last word and then I'll give up the mic. I think you are providing clarity by saying it is a trust us thing. Like, that, I think people need to hear that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I that's what I want to be clear on. You got to trust us a little bit, which is hard, because, you know, like, there's no version of the world where I like wouldn't have trusted SBF 18 months ago. And there have been a lot of people who seemed credible through AC who people trusted that blew them up. We're a different thing, you know? But there is definitely, I understand like the trust is bro mentality has not worked well in crypto. So I empathize with that. There's just nothing else I can do to try to win trust.
And just one further thing on the trust thing then, just to be clear, it's you that's making the decisions. Is that fair to say?
Which decisions?
Whatever the decision, like the decisions, like the deploying capital decisions.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, it's not like me in a vacuum. It's me. I'm responsible as CEO of Terraform Labs for any money that gets spent out of our treasury. But I don't want that to, like, I'm, yeah, right. Like, but like any organization, decisions are made by a lot of people. It's not like a dictatorship.
But, well, the benevolent dictator is sometimes something we can rally behind. How many crops will there be for the 150 million?
I don't remember.
I think on the proposal, I think it's mentioned in the proposal, Rubble, but I think it's three, if I'm not mistaken. So one, let me look back at the proposal real quick, just to fact check that.
And just to be clear,
it's in the proposal execution section. Yeah, so it's this proposal that we have now, the proposal to lock the community pool until January 2025 and then revisit as a community. And then the last proposal, the third one, is to implement the fee share module that TFL will utilize to align incentives with Terra applications.
Thanks for taking all the questions.
Absolutely. All right, we got Vendetta up here. How you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for the opportunity to speak. First of all, I want to say I think it is important that TFL has a say. And also basically some power in the sense of moving the chain forward. But secondly, I wanna ask a question to Chris. I think earlier in the space you said that we are giving up a little bit of decentralization, right? And putting that chunk of money into the TFL organization is kind of like centralizing it a bit. And then I see the current times that we're living in globally as very much uncertain. Not only the global financial reset that is on the horizon, but also now we have like three hotspots: Ukraine, Israel, and and Taiwan that potentially could spill over to some major shit. So if shit hits the fan, decentralization is obviously the better option always, I guess. So my question would be, how decentralized is TFL? How many different countries do your members represent in case some power grids go off and shit like that? So how decentralized is TFL?
I mean, we're spread out all over the world.
I think I can't hear Chris.
Pretty resilient. Maybe. You can't hear me? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
All right, yeah. And Chris, maybe just answer, and then I'm going to listen back to that part. How about that?
Yeah, so if someone can tell Vendetta, yeah, we're spread out all over the world and extremely resilient given everything that's happened in the last 18 months.
Did you get that, Vendetta?
No, obviously I couldn't hear Chris at all, but
okay, fine. Yeah. So he basically said we're spread out basically everywhere and we're super resilient. And our team is spread out basically across the world. Would love to have more people in Toronto though. I'm currently the only one here. So if you know anybody who's interested,
Vlad's lonely, guys.
All right.
He's a lonely Canadian.
That calms me down a bit. That's all good. That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. Let's see what other questions we got here. So Blue Horseshoe has a couple questions in the reply here. First one was, any clawback from previous grants that either didn't build or underperformed? Chris, I think you already touched on that earlier, but if you just want to answer that again quickly.
I met Blue Horseshoe at the Delphi party at Solana Breakpoint. Was that like 2 years ago? Was that only 2 years ago? Jesus. Okay. Yeah. So the first question was what we're doing with clawbacks on the Terra community.
Yeah, basically, is there going to be, yeah, like any clawbacks or if they didn't ship on Terra?
We talked about this on the last spaces. I'll say kind of the same thing. Like, I think there's, so for everyone who's already heard this once, forgive me. I think there are like different levels of issues with that community grant. I think first and foremost, like everyone looks back on it like it's a big failure. And there are so many teams still building on Cosmos today that received that grant, and I don't know how many of them wouldn't have survived without it, but I know a lot of them wouldn't have. And so I think it was actually fairly successful. I think what leads to more disillusionment with it, and I think it would have even been more successful had there not been the fat mans of the world out there just like spreading false accusations and just like completely killing our momentum and, you know, giving a lot of doubt. Like, some builders were very concerned about some of these allegations. And so, like, anyway, like, I think, like, if someone took an allocation at the very beginning and, you know, it just didn't work out, they couldn't execute or something like that, like, I don't think it's a valuable exercise to, like, go chase them down and try to ruin their lives. A lot's happened since then. There are some that built, but they kind of went and launched on other chains. A lot of them, like, secretly want to come home. They just want to see us. They just want to see what's going to happen over here. And so there's no point in, like, going after them. Like, let's stay friends. We're all in crypto. We're all trying to solve the same problems, and let's get them back. I think the teams have stuck around and executed. We'll have a special place in our heart, and hopefully a special place in our incentive program. But there are definitely some teams that, like, it feels like they just pulled one over on us by coming back and getting like multiple more grants and then launching on other chains. I don't know what, I haven't had time to really look into like if there's legal recourse, or I haven't had time to really consider whether there should be. You know, one of those teams I'm in conversations with now, but I've told them I won't share. So I'm trying to just find like a peaceful, reasonable outcome for everyone. But you know, I think the purpose of this grant is so we don't have to do that anymore. Is like TFL can just, when we make these arrangements, we have a legal structure in place that can enforce these things. And then eventually, I would love to, I told the last group, I met a guy at Cosmoverse. I can't remember his name or his project. If you're out there, get in contact with me. But he was building DAO software that could also operate, that allowed DAOs to operate in legal meat space so that they could enforce contracts and do all these things. And yet, if we could collaborate with them and get some of that in enterprise, or they could bring their own project over and compete with enterprise. No, I think that would be really interesting.
So Blue Horseshoe actually had a follow-up that I think is kind of directly in line with what you were just talking about there, Chris, which is basically like in the vein of accountability with these teams that we would fund, which they ask, what are the key milestones for the next 11 months to hold teams accountable and make sure they continue to deliver?
What are the, sorry, say that again. You cut out.
So yeah, basically like, what are the key milestones for projects for the next 11 months to hold them accountable or have them continue to deliver? So maybe one way to take that is even just beyond just the 11 month time period, you know, like how do we plan to hold the teams that we fund accountable for like shipping?
Are we talking about the teams that TFL funds ourselves now, or are we talking about like the remaining, like how do we hold accountable the teams that already took community funds?
I mean, it doesn't specify, but let's just,
yeah, the first,
it's in, yeah.
The first is very easy. We just do it. And like, we know how to manage teams if we, and how to set up like agreements with teams that are enforceable and trackable and measurable. I don't know how to, enforce. I think it's enforcement by community consensus or social consensus probably at this point, for the community funds. and then just like not giving people more money until we can figure out a better way of managing it, because this just keeps happening over and over again. There's no point in continuing this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the way, I also do feel bad. Like, there are teams that have good, like, I think there are a lot of teams who have good intentions who are going to the community pool, and they kind of feel like they just missed their window, probably. Like, they're like, well, why did that other team get it, but I didn't get it? And I just want to say to those teams, like, you know, we're going to work with those teams now. We're not going to give them just survival money, but we're going to help them work on a plan that makes them sustainable, and we can support, you know, a coherent strategic plan. But yeah, just, you know, I think Orn was one of them. I'm not saying that their project's going to work, but I do respect them trying something new and interesting and incredibly challenging. And so for those teams, I think you just got to make sure you don't take any of this stuff personal. It's not personal. It's just that people are exhausted. People are exhausted, and everyone did. I think most of our community did the best they could to vet this stuff and tried to come up with reasoned explanations and justifications for what they did, except for the ones who didn't participate at all. But it's just a brutal, brutal system, these community grants. And they really feel like a no-win type of setup long term. There will be wins in them, and but mostly I just see them generating conflict between people who should be friends.
Right. All right, I'm just scrolling to see if there's any other questions here.
And by the way, the irony, I do get the irony of me saying that as I ask for a community grant on a Spaces that says community grant discussion, for what it's worth.
All right, so let's bring up this speaker here. Oh, looking like we're having some connection issues. Okay, that dropped off. All right, so we have another question from Blue Horseshoe. They want to know if we could talk a little bit about some of the upcoming projects or provide any updates on those.
Yeah, definitely. I would love for Vlad and Other Mike to do that. Vlad, Other Mike, do you want to? I think everyone wants to hear about Station. You want to come up? They've heard enough from me about Station.
I'll invite Other Mike up here. What was
he's
that, Vlad?
He's not gonna accept. If you've already got Vlad on the hook, so why don't we give it to Vlad for like enterprise updates?
All right.
Other Mike is shy.
Mike. So if you want to join, I think Zion's sent you the invite, but I can start off. We've talked a lot about Warp in the past few spaces. So a little bit about Enterprise. Enterprise is growing to be like a pretty massive project with a lot of different moving components. And so Chris touched on this like very surface level in the presentation that he did in Cosmoverse. But essentially what Enterprise is going to be is a place where real businesses can perform real economic, it can create real economic activity. And so what we have out right now is called Enterprise DAO, where you can basically create groups of people that manage funds. And we've seen different types. We've seen like multi-sigs that go out and manage community grants based on schedules and milestones. We've seen the great success of Lion DAO bringing together literally thousands of community members to vote towards, you know, common goals like expanding across Cosmos and deploying liquidity in other areas. And what we're going to do is actually expand on this to create a few more products. And so one thing that is super interesting that we're working on right now is the creation of labor markets. And what this means is DAOs and multi-sigs and even users can create like listings for jobs that need to be done. And then people can apply to do those jobs. So it's kind of like a crypto version of Upwork or Fiverr, where you apply for jobs and then the employer or the job creator selects who they want to do the job for them. And then that's all based on like credentials. So you're going to have like review systems that are either generated on this labor market or brought in from other places where you've gathered reviews. They can look at who you are, if you're legit, if you do good work historically, and then they choose you based on those credentials. You do the job and then you get paid. And this is one way that we're really going to be bringing economic activity on chain. And it's going to be a really good way to get productivity onto Terra. So you're actually going to be able to transact and get real value from those transactions. I think this is honestly going to be an evolution to like milestone based like community grant proposals. Like instead of that, you could just simply create like bounties and create jobs and then get like actual metrics and work done. And on top of that, everybody's going to have, you know, like a history of reviews and credentials that prove, you know, their reputation over time, either as an employer or as someone that gets these jobs done. And so I'm super excited about this because I'm always a big fan of actual utility. Ponzi's just don't work well in my mind. And so anything that provides like real trade, real economic activity and something that, you know, incentivizes the community and the ecosystem to grow through actual metrics and actual work done, I think is going to propel our ecosystem so far. so much further ahead than, you know, any speculation or token trading can ever do. So that's the labor market component. And then we're also going to be building out, I'm sure you guys have heard of Fountain, but that's going to be relabeled into enterprise payments, where it's going to provide like basically easy ways to pay people in multiple different ways. So there's going to be like the payment streaming, and you can do a bunch of interesting things, including DeFi with these. There's going to be like vesting schedules that anybody can create with a few clicks of a button. And essentially, we're going to be able to simplify the payment process. And this is all going to be under the spirit of enterprise, which is, you know, simplifying on-chain business such that, you know, you don't need devs to actually get this done. Anybody can do it as long as, you know, you have an idea for what you want to do. And then finally, like, we're going to have like this ecosystem of tools under the enterprise brand, and all of that is going to be tied into a product called Enterprise Hub, which is kind of like a hybrid Web 2, Web 3 platform that you can use to manage your business all under one dashboard and ensure that all of these components kind of flow together, and you can track your productivity, your payments, and all of your business needs under one umbrella. And so Enterprise DAO is just the beginning to this.
Yeah, a way to think about this is, if you're a boomer like me, a way to think about this is like, there isn't an Oracle or SAP for crypto. And what you'll notice is Vlad says all of that is, you hear him describing features that sound a lot like stuff that I've said we want to do. And so we just, like, TFL does so much business in crypto. We know, like, we're basically building enterprise for ourselves and to accomplish all of the different use cases we've learned from 3 years of both decentralized governance and protocol management. And so we can put it all under one roof. I mean, there are marketing apps we're going to build, analytics, all kinds of good stuff. So, we're really excited about enterprise. And then Enterprise DAO itself will be going cross-chain when, Vlad?
This month.
Yep. I think, is it White Whale that's up first?
Yeah, White Whale's up first. They finally got IBC hooks up this week. I think even a couple days ago or as soon as yesterday. And so as long as a chain has IBC hooks enabled, and we're going to make sure we have relayers between these chains, between us and that chain, we're going to be able to deploy kind of extensions to your DAO that all get managed under the enterprise DAO UI. So it's going to be super seamless. You're going to be able to hold tokens on any chain that we support, and basically extend your functionality that you can do now on Terra to any chain within the Cosmos that has IBC hooks, essentially.
We should hand over to Mike and get an update from him on Station. Hey, one thing I have to say, I'm going to jump off. I have to jump off at the top of the hour. I'll be in Telegram. I'm happy to answer questions. I appreciate everybody tuning in. So I just want to make sure I like give a farewell in case I have to jump off while Mike's talking. Hey, one other thing I would say is, I see Capapult down there, and they've got some interesting stuff coming up. I don't know if they're ready to talk about it yet, but if you are, request to speak, and you can go after other Mike. Anyway, I'll hand it off now.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, cool. All right, thank you very much, and thank you, you know, everybody for the warm welcome. Uh-oh, am I not coming through?
No, you're
coming through.
Okay, cool. I didn't see the little icon thing next to me. There it goes. All right. First of all, yeah, thank you for the warm welcome. I was kind of, you know, keeping things under the radar for a little while, but, you know, between the, you know, kind words from Kazi at Terrascope, and then now Chris, I think, you know, the secret's a little bit out of the bag. So, you know, some folks are familiar with me. They may have seen me, you know, awkwardly speak at TFI Alpha, which was also 2 years ago at this point, which feels like a lifetime ago. But No, so on the station team, you know, our immediate goals are working towards V3. And so what V3 is going to do is take a lot of the interchain functionality that we try to, you know, get into version 2. But we're going to use the lessons we've learned from the V2 launch to make it that much better. And where we're getting a lot of help from that is on the infrastructure side. So learning the lessons of, you know, you can't just onboard 20, you know, arbitrary chains using public infrastructure. We tried, and, you know, it's a very decentralized approach, but, you know, that leads to a very unreliable experience for the user. So I think that's probably one of the biggest parts of V3 that we're going to try to get in there is the reliability and the stability for the end user. You know, when they're using a fintech app or a DeFi app, they don't want to see something didn't work. They don't want to see a white screen. They want to know that they can reliably get access to their assets. They don't want to see a triangle that says that the chain that their assets are on is unavailable right now, you know?
I just got to jump in. Mm-hmm. Everyone here has to be frustrated with the orange triangle.
Yes.
We want to put an end to the orange triangle.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly it. And so I think that's one of the best themes of, you know, what the V3 is all about is get rid of the orange triangle. And, you know, there's some assets that we haven't been able to update for a long time, whether it was, you know, personnel or whatever, but like the mobile app, we want to really give not just attention to the mobile app and get the really give it the same dev resources that we're giving extension, but we also want to give the end user the same experience. We want them to be using Station, whether it's in their browser, on their, you know, mobile device or wherever, and have the same experience, you know, seeing tweets like, well, can you do it like they do it on mobile? Because it works on mobile, but not on extension. We're taking a lot of steps to kind of make it so that we're not just copy-pasting code between these different repositories, but we're actually leveraging, you know, a centralized code base to kind of make the extension work, make mobile work. And then as we get V3 out for the end users, help the developers with the same DX, you know, where, you know, all of what we do is open source. So people will be able to go there. They'll see how we're utilizing, whether it's the business logic, you know, that makes it work, whether it's the UI components. We want to make it not just the end users, but the developers as well will have a wealth of resources to kind of go to and then be able to build things similarly to us. You know, from my background in being a Terra developer on Columbus 4 and Columbus 5, I had a lot of experience being able to, you know, work and benefit from the work of the TFL team then. And I think that was probably, for me personally as a developer, one of the best onboarding things was, you know, I wasn't in DeFi beforehand. I was Terra first. And so I was really, really spoiled by the applications and the development resources that TFL had. And so I want to continue that on with what we're doing now, but now open to the interchain. So yeah, so V3 is in our direct path, but we have a lot of cool stuff that we want to plan to do. I was sharing a little bit of a kind of final boss type stuff for us was Larry from DeFi a couple hours ago posted this really long, funny, like, this is how you get stuff over to Neutron from, you know, Ethereum or whatever. And it was like half joking because it was such a complicated task and half not. And I'm like, Station needs to be able to do that. And so kind of that's what our goal is, you know, get Station to stable, get a universal experience between the web and the phone, get developers excited to onboard Station, get developers and dApp developers excited to use Station and support Station on their sites, but then take the UX and abstraction to another level and make these really, really complex tasks nice and easy so that the users can know how it works if they want to, but they don't have to. Yeah, sorry. It's been a while since I've done some public speaking. I apologize if I am competing with Chris for the ums and and such.
No, that was good. That was good. Hopefully that was helpful for people here to get an overview of a couple of things that we're working on. We're running up on the top of the hour here, but I invited Dion up to speak here, who requested. So, Dion, do you have a question about the proposal or something that you wanted to discuss?
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Good. First of all, I would like to thank you all for continuing building everything. the support is great. But I've seen a lot of ideas that are being built, but I don't see any timeframes on them. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to timelines, it's difficult to, I think any, this isn't TFL specific. I think like any product team will tell you that when you think something's going to take a week or a month, it ends up taking longer for a variety of different reasons. You know, like something breaks, you didn't think it was going to break, something, you know, some assumption was wrong that you had or something. And so that's kind of how things end up kind of getting pushed out. But in terms of timelines, you know, internally, we like to hold ourselves to a high bar. And that's one of the reasons why, if you look at historically, like some of the things that we've shipped in relation to like industry standards, you look at like Alliance as an example of this. You know, a lot of people on Ethereum talking about Eigenlayer and restaking and how this is such an innovation. But, you know, Alliance had actually launched that and enabled the Web3 first, you know, on Migaloo with the BLUNA getting staked over there well before Eigenlayer. So this is like an example of those where that kind of flew under the radar because just due to the fact that, you know, we had the DPEG and a lot of people, you know, kind of lost interest in the Terra ecosystem after the collapse, but really a testament to just the continued determination and resilience of the team and also the innovative and kind of inventive nature within TFL and the Terra ecosystem. So we'll continue to try and ship as fast as possible for you know, obviously for the Terra community. But that's kind of the reason why it's difficult to commit to specific timelines on shipping things, because you just never know when something's going to come up. And I'll tell you, from the TFL's perspective, you know, something tends to come up, especially after everything that happened last year. So hopefully, you know, the community is understanding and can remain patient with us as we continue to ship. I mean, in comparison to a lot of teams in Web3, TFL ships a lot faster. So we'll continue to, like I said, hold ourselves to a high bar and continue to do our best in getting products out there into the market.
All right, thank you very much. And shout out to LionDAO.
Shout out to LionDAO and Ryan Lion. I see you here, sir. All right. Well, we're a little bit over time. I wanted to thank everyone for showing up. Thank you to all the lunatics who also left some questions and the replies as well. Vlad's got sound effects here. How did you do that, Vlad?
It's my job.
Okay. That's his job, apparently. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for stopping by. And if you have any additional questions about the grant that we didn't get to, you can send those in on the Terra Network Telegram channel or on Agora, on the governance proposal itself. And we'll provide some feedback on that. But we appreciate everyone's support. And we will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting nodders. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Gotta plant it and reap
reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Ten Spaces.